Revelation chapter 3. So here's what's on my mind. Sometimes we go through life and the pressures just like squeeze in, you know. So much so that there are times when you feel as though you'd be smarter to quit, you know. So staying the task sometimes, you feel like you're too stupid to quit. You know, you just, if you had a half a wit, you would just give it up. And so I've been thinking quite a bit, because of the time, I'm going to just give you the context of the message and we'll pick it up next week. But here's what I've been thinking. We as people, and as time has progressed, we have just been facing a season of closed doors. And Revelation 3 is a very important passage in trying to understand closed doors, because the word talks about doors that are placed in heavenly realms that when the Lord opens, no man can shut them, and doors that are shut that no man can open it. And so I wanted to just, maybe for today, if we can we just talk a little bit about closed doors in our life? Things that feel closed, things that feel as though they're not bearing fruit. And why I want to contextualize that is that there are people who are doing things correctly, rightly. You're doing the right things. And yet it seems like there's not a lot of fruit being born, and it's just freaking hard. And you don't really understand why that's happening. And, you know, you're tithing and enjoying it less. You know, you're going to work and you're being faithful. I had an incident like that happened to me yesterday when, you know, I went to work, and it wasn't one of those things where I had to go into work. I just did go into work, you know, because I had it in the back of my mind that there were things that were going to happen. And I wanted to kind of be there to facilitate those things. And, you know, the Lord met me at my faith, and there was just like problems from sun up to sundown. And so one of those issues required me to call, which some of you know, so you have to kind of keep your distance, but required me to call my boss. And in my mind, I just don't know what was with me that particular moment. But at that time, I was just trying to get an answer to a question. But instead of letting me have an answer to the question, he just all of a sudden got all CSI on me, you know. Started asking me a million questions, and I felt like the spotlight was on me. You ever had a conversation with someone, and as you're talking to them, all of a sudden you're feeling like you're lying, even though you're not lying, because they ask you silly questions? Like I said, well, it's about 10. He goes, well, is it about 10 or is it 10? Well, it's about 10. I don't know. I didn't exactly count, you know. So why didn't you count? I don't know. Maybe because I didn't think it was important. You know, you ever had one of those kinds of conversations with someone? And, you know, you just, and it just hit me at the wrong point where I was just thinking to myself, I remember this cartoon I saw, and it's got a desk, and there's this guy standing on the desk and another guy sitting behind the desk, and the guy that's standing on the desk is actually peeing on the desk. And the guy behind the desk says, Bob, I take it you hit Lotto. So it's the, you know, it's the same situation, you know. But, and that's kind of what I was feeling at the time. You know, I was feeling like, you know, in actuality, I said, well, I'll go count. I'll figure out how many it is, and I'll get back to you in a minute. I don't really know. But in my mind, there was a lot of Greek going on, you know what I'm saying? And it started out with you, some bother bouncing, boot, doot, doot. And I just realized that in some capacity, you know, you're trying to be faithful, but you feel like Luke Skywalker in the trash bin, you know, where that the walls are coming in on you. Anybody feel that way sometimes? Am I the only one? All right. So what is it that represents that for you? And when you think about a season of fruitfulness or a season of where things should be happening, you're doing the right things, and yet sometimes the wrong results happen because of it. Does that make sense? You ever done the right thing and then had the wrong results? I remember when my mom had a garden in my house when I was about 11. And I remember we were hippies. And so we were growing lots of things. We were horticulture experts, you know. My mom had a beautiful garden outside, and I had a very nice garden in my closet. So there was some beautiful things going on, you know. But, you know, I'm not a dolph when it comes to growing things, but, you know, my mom gave me this package of seeds which is ironic because I got some other kinds of seeds myself over here that day. But she told me to sow seed in the garden, and I was starting to grow some what she thought was tomatoes. But as those things were growing, the stalks of those tomato things were getting to be about 5 feet high, and there still was no tomatoes. And I'm thinking, that ain't no tomatoes. I don't know too much, you know. Had to get in touch with my inner hick, but I had a very good clue that usually tomatoes don't grow on stalks, you know. So we might have had corn. What's that? Yeah, it was corn coming. Yeah. So my mom, being intuitive as she was, kind of noticed that we weren't due there, and she asked me a question, and the reason this came to my mind is because I asked this to my kids yesterday, was what did I do wrong? You know, so somehow I screwed up the tomatoes and turned it into corn. You know, magically, Mom, I have these magic powers I never told you about. And I actually did plant lettuce and it turned into wheat. I don't know how that happened. It's just magic touch. So you get them all confused. But the thing is that things don't always turn out the way you want them to turn out. Does that make sense? And so I'm thinking that we're in a season where I believe that you have to use a lot of discernment. Because things are happening at such a rapid pace. And I remember, again, to tell another story because that's all I got right now, but because Max screwed me up. But I remember this season where I went skiing. And I wanted to take the fast track. Sue, by the way, is a professional butt skier. And when she goes skiing, she like sits on the skis, you know, and that's how she goes. And I went, but as you know, when you learn, they don't have a lot of ski lifts in Los Angeles, so it's not my fault. But anyways, when you finally go skiing, they make you do this thing called a snow plow, you know? And not that I'm too big of an egotist or anything, but I just thought that just looked like the stupidest thing in the world. I'm not going to do that. And I saw these other guys just like, you know, down a ski slope. And I thought, well, I wanted to learn how to do it that way, you know? So the guy said, well, it's called this, either slaloming or whatever, parallel skiing. And because I used to surf when I was younger, I could pick up on that pretty easily. So the guy said, well, you know, just try it on the slow slopes and you won't have any problem. And I'm thinking to myself, what? Oh, man, you have no idea my skills. So I decided that I was going to go up the rope pull. And I went up the rope pull, went all the way up to the top of the mountain, and I decided that I was going to parallel ski all the way down the hill, which was going pretty good. I mean, I was hitting the moguls, and my skills were pretty good. And honestly, I was just very good. I was able to turn and do everything. There was only one thing I didn't learn how to do while I was down there. I did not learn how to stop. So I was doing all of about 250 miles an hour straight down, and at least that's what it seemed like when I was rolling. And I started to head towards the lodge, where they have this little area where everybody waits out and they all kind of like drink hot cocoa. And I don't know if you've ever been skiing, but they have an area where you park your skis and they're standing there, and I'm coming in pretty fast, you know. So as I'm coming in, I'm screaming, get out of the way! And they're like, just stop, idiot! And one guy, you know, wearing his ski suit, which again makes you question person's sexuality, but he was standing out there, and I'm heading down this hill, and this guy stood right in front of me, and boom! I mean, I just collided with them and knocked them, you know, way out onto the ground, and it caused a big old scene. But I learned a valuable lesson at that time. It, you know, if you don't know what you're doing, you got to be careful and kind of slow it up a little bit, you know. You have to kind of navigate the course of life sometimes a little bit more slowly than you think you ought to. And I feel like right now in this great season of change, that we are to kind of like use discernment before making those decisions. Now, I'm saying that because a few months ago, things started to happen pretty rapidly. I mean, people started to move and things started to happen. And I've been pretty supportive in trying to help them. And it kind of dawned on me just the other day that, man, things are happening so fast. I mean, how do you, like, one guy would be in one city one day and then move three states across, you know, halfway across the country. And it seemed wise. And what they were doing was prudent and seemed to make sense, but I'm really realizing that we got to use a lot more caution in trying to move forward. And the problem with going slow is you've been waiting for so long for something to happen, tending it like I was tending that, you know, tomato plants that turned into corn, and disappointed with the results, even though you bore some fruit, it just really wasn't what you want. And so I believe that right now that there's a lot of people feeling pressured. There's a lot of people feeling like life's moving pretty fast as far as having to make radical decisions, major decisions in the next few months. And I also believe that there are people that are, you know, in feeling as though they are, because they can't make up their mind on any one thing, that they're feeling pretty paralyzed. You know what I mean? Paralyzed by, like, I don't even know how to... You ever been had so many things to think about, you don't even know which one to tackle first and what decision to make, because it's like, there's so much on the plate. It's like, oh my gosh, how do I, what do I think of next? So that's what's on my mind. And so I'm thinking of Revelation chapter 3 with the whole idea of opening and shutting. Now, all through the book of Revelation, you're going to see lots of analogies to the words open and shut, open and shut. And there are always two aspects to the opening and shutting. There's always this idea of heavenly opening and shutting, where angels are opening and shutting things, God is opening and shutting things. And then what we oftentimes overlook in all of that is there are humans that are opening and shutting things. And so there's a divine element, a spirited element to what needs to open in your life and what needs to close. Usually when you're running into the back door and breaking your nose, it's a good idea that maybe that's a locked door. But then there's also this human element to opening and closing things that involves the power of our will, things that we have to choose, and that's kind of where I'm at that point in time. So I want to just kind of spend a few minutes just in a little bit of transparency and see if there's anybody here that's bold enough to talk about their right now closed door. What feels like a closed door to you? And you don't have to worry about being embarrassed here. The only one who probably should use some discernment is Russ Garcia got a part-time job at Chippendales. And so he's trying to decide whether he's going to go with the black costume or the gold costume. And Russ, we'll talk about that after the service. But outside of that, what feels like a closed door to you that you're just kind of confronted with? Anybody feel like they want to share the closed door? Andrew feels like a closed door. That's a big one. And it's, you don't know what to do with it, right? And don't know whether you should leave it alone or keep pushing, right? That's a good one. Anybody else feel like they got a closed door, Myrna? Your daughters invested a lot of time in those relationships and trying to wonder where all the hostility is coming from. And do you keep pushing? And right? Okay, that's good. Anybody else, Meredith? Long time you've been faithful to it, up and down. It's a closed door. Saw a hand over here, George. So you're having a hard time with that new job, getting all the dynamics. That's good. Anybody else got a closed door, Linda?
Potential one.
Yeah. Anybody else? No, if nothing else feels like closed doors. Those are closed doors. And it's hard, and we're going to spend some time today in a few minutes just praying for those things, especially in the season when I'm talking about it. And here's what I hope you're going to get out of this series. You're going to understand, first of all, which doors God opens and which doors God closes and why. And then you're also going to understand on the doors that God opens what it means to come into contact with opposition and how hard should you push to go through those particular doors. And the fourth thing you'll probably learn is at what point in time are you going to be able to maybe stop investing in something that's not going to produce fruit. Now, you guys got a good enough sense of humor to tolerate a really bad analogy, you know? At some point in time, when you're when you're drinking, it just stops working for you. So you might want to kind of quit investing in that area, you know. And I'm saying that humorously, trying to give a real life analogy to what's going on. What I'm trying to say is that you got to learn discernment and wisdom. And those are things that come both inspirationally by divine influence, but they're also things that come by very human measures. The way we learn what's really going on. And we know we can learn how to say no to things that aren't bearing fruit. Does that make sense? And in this, there's going to be some relationships you're going to have to say no to. There's going to be some changes, job changes, or whatever it might be for you that you're going to have to make. Because the issue is has to do with the paralysis that you're feeling. Because being stuck is no fun. And to be honest with you, I'm not really certain that total paralysis is really something that God does. I think that there's a waiting time, which is different. But, you know, I've seen people get stuck and stay stuck. And I feel like that needs to be lifted. You know, any progress is going to be good progress. So we're going to pray for those things as well. So let me just deal real quickly with the closed doors that people said that they are facing. The big thing that we're going to have to try to think about this week is what is the Spirit's voice to you? Now, there are two sides to that coin. The one side of the coin, when it comes about God's voice, when we're talking about open doors, the one side is that there are... You have to learn to differentiate in your mind the things that you are choosing to do because of your own ethics and your own morals. So you have decided that this person should do whatever, you know. And I'll just use an example, Meredith Brandon. Okay. So like, here's some of the examples of what I'm saying. First of all, you have custody, right? The big moral thing there is you can't technically kill him. Although, if we were a jury of your peers, we would definitely be empathetic to your plea. So that ethic, okay, so you say to yourself, okay, I can't kill him. Okay, step number two. You have custody of him, right? So that has its own dynamic. I'm responsible for him. So those are the kinds of things, without totally embarrassing Meredith, but those are the kinds of things I'm talking about when it comes to ethical responsibility. You know, you have choices that you have to make within the bounds of whatever your ethic or your morals might be. Okay. Now the flip side of that coin, which I'll talk about next week, is the spirit side of that thing. God has an opinion in whatever it is that you're struggling with. And God not only has a voice, He has a way. Now the problem with that second side of the coin is that it takes faith sometimes to believe God for those bigger things. And believe me, friends, I have gone through this season of closed doors where it's like everything I have touched just feels like it's turning to crap sometimes, you know? And it felt as though every time I was going to do something, it wasn't going to produce fruit. Now, I had two choices. I was either going to give up or I was going to stay faithful to what God spoke to me, and I was going to tough it out through the hard times. I was going to develop tenacity and endurance and just keep on keeping on. And that is what faith is all about. Faith is where the rubber meets the road. It's walking out when you don't feel like walking it out. It's when you're wounded and you're hurt and, you know, you've been offended and people are talking about you and they don't want to give you a chance and you're just trying to make some progress and it seems like gravity itself is working against you. There is a human element that must respond to the God side of the coin in faith. Does that make sense? So I want you to write this down. This is the most profound statement that you will hear this year. I want you to know that it came from the greatest prophetic source known to mankind. It was a $2 sign at Target. And the sign said this: faith makes things possible, not easy. And I've never had a spiritual moment per se in Target. I was excited whenever they're making fresh popcorn when I'm there. I did so enjoy it when they had blue raspberry ices. Every once in a while, they'll have a 99-cent sale on candy bars where you can get 10 Hershey bars for a buck, like that. But I've never had a spiritual epiphany before. Although I spent a great deal of time at that dumb little environmental CD section by the greeting cards, pushing all those little mood music things, I never quite was pushed to the element of what happened when I was walking through the home decor section looking for a lamp for the cafe, and I was moving these signs, and it was almost as though God was speaking to me, because as soon as I pushed those signs across, I really had a flippin' epiphany right there in Tarjay. And I'm crying. I mean, I'm starting to tear up. I'm like, oh man, must find an exit quickly, you know? Because it just so moved me that this is really the way it is. And I don't know why I never thought of it before. Faith makes things possible, but it definitely doesn't make things easy. And so I'm going to speak to the human element of those things, a two-sided coin. And hopefully, again, we'll be able to kind of find some breakthrough. But with that, I'm going to pray for you guys today and just kind of like talk about, I won't talk about you. That's bad. It's not good. Pray for you, not talking. Lord, I just thank you for your presence. And I'm going to pray for clarity of mind to those that need these requests answered. Lord, I pray that for this season they wouldn't do anything until they hear from you. And I'm praying, God, that you would give them help, because that's what is in the nature of all the requests that have been asked today. There is a need for help. Help them in Jesus' name. I pray, God, that you would infuse them with just your presence. Let them feel that you are with them. I pray, Lord, that whatever's going on in their head, the places that they may have screwed up in, Lord, that you're going to meet them at that place in the road, and that, Lord, you are not going to abandon them. You are a good God that stays committed to us, even if we are not acting or doing what we're supposed to do. You are in the midst. So, Lord, I speak right now that you would surround them with your presence, your strength, your comfort. God, I pray that you would begin to give them wisdom and understanding on what to do. And Lord, I know on several of these prayer requests, there is a cry of helplessness on this level. That if you don't do it, Lord, they're feeling like it ain't never going to get done. And so Lord, I pray that you would help them to be faithful to that two-sided coin. The things that they need to do, and the thing that the Spirit is speaking to them. So Lord, I pray that you would just touch them in what they're facing. And Lord, I pray that you would just encourage them today. God, you just touch, Lord, just Andrew right now, Lord. We pray for Brandon. We pray, Lord, for George and his struggles that he's having. We're praying for Myrna, that she would have a release, Lord, on her daughters. We pray, Lord, for Linda, that would gain direction on her job, what she's doing. We pray, Lord, for the Michalowski family today, Lord, that your presence would just be on them. Lord, I pray right now, God, for just all the needs that are here, that, Lord, you can provide wisdom, and we're leaning on you. And so, Lord, I pray that you would give them great favor. And Jesus, you are the one that is coming alongside. We pray for the Lacey family today, Lord. Let you come alongside. You actually engulf us in your presence so that we can do what doesn't seem humanly possible. And so, Father, I pray that you would just bless them today. And we're going to stay praying with them until we get together next week, Lord. I ask you peace. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, hey, I appreciate you guys. Happy Father's Day. See you all next week, okay? I'll post my notes. Yeah, Max screwed me up. I'll post my notes online in case anybody wanted to actually know what I was going to say.